Okay, it's my great joy to introduce our speaker, Lorraine Jones, our very own, the Reverend Lorraine Jones, excuse me. Lorraine is currently an architectural designer with Smith Douglas Homes in Woodstock, Georgia. She has been employed in drafting and graphic design since 1995 after attaining her drafting design diploma at what was then Pickens Tech in Jasper, Georgia, and is now Chattahoochee Tech. Although she graduated with honors from Cherokee High School in Canton at the age of 16, she didn't get an actual college degree in graphic design until 2010, when she graduated summa cum laude from Penn Foster College. Life happened. She completed ministerial training with All Faith Seminary International in New York as an online student, and was ordained in New York City as an interfaith minister 2018, June 16. She is still not sure what path this will take her on, but is looking forward to the journey. Lorraine has been married to soulmate Jamie Tatum since 2005, second time's the charm. She has a daughter, Morgan, a stepson, Tripp, and a granddaughter, Blaze. She also has two cats, Gonzo, a male long-haired tuxedo, and Coco, a female snowshoe. What? Oh, like a Siamese with white feet. Huh. Interesting. Her cardigan Welsh corgi hasn't yet been born. So you're waiting on one, huh? Okay, her sermon is 2,000 Years of Hell. So I will give you a rein.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I can't take credit for that title because I actually heard that from a, he used to be a bishop, with a Pentecostal bishop, and now he speaks at a Unitarian church in Oklahoma. And I thought it sounded so good that I thought I would just borrow it for this one. The religiously misinterpreted concept of hell may be the most emotionally and psychologically disabilitating concept in human psychology, theology, and philosophy. It has produced a global psychosis that has crippled and virtually paralyzed the development of peaceful coexistence in our world. After almost 40 years of a superstitious belief in the doctrine of eternal judgment and physical torment, I stopped believing in such an aberrant concept. I know that we can have a positive, responsible, and spiritual life without the traditional teachings of infinite weeping, wailing, and gnashing of teeth that those of us brought up in a fundamentalist religious tradition have been taught for the last 2,000 years. I wanted to address the subject of hell because I think it's crucial to understand why others think and behave the way they do, and because I lived with this in my thoughts from the age of 7 until my early 40s. It was part of an article of faith that impacted my thoughts on every aspect of my life during this time. Those of my previous faith were always afraid of hell and of the God who created it and who had the power to send us there. We were afraid to make that God angry because that God obviously had anger management issues. Although most professed to love God, everyone seemed to love Jesus more. He was our emergency fire escape. The fear of God has become profound to billions of people, not just Christians, but also another couple of billion Islamic people. Other religions don't emphasize it the same way many Christian and Muslim traditions do. Certainly Judaism doesn't, but Judaism does emphasize the angry God. From what I understand, most Jews don't believe in hell or any specific afterlife. The closest word to it in Hebrew, Sheol, is a word suggesting the graveyard or cemetery or a place where the dead congregate. Hades, the Greek equivalent, means the shadowy place below the earth, which was considered the final destination of the souls of the dead. It was also the name of the god of death, whose Roman name was Pluto. The word hell is a mistranslation in the King James Version of the Bible. It's not an original biblical term. Jesus never once used the word hell. Nobody in the pre-translated Bible used that actual word. In 16th century King's English, the word hell came from the Hebrew place Gehenna. It was mistranslated from the word meaning Valley of Hinnom. Gehenna, according to Wikipedia, is a small valley in Jerusalem. In the Hebrew Bible, Gehenna was initially where some of the kings of Judah sacrificed their children by fire. Thereafter, it was deemed to be cursed. This is in Jeremiah 7:31. In rabbinic literature and Christian and Islamic scripture, Gehenna is a destination of the wicked. This is different from the more neutral Sheol or Hades, the abode of the dead. Although the King James Version of the Bible usually translates both with the Anglo-Saxon word hell. In the King James Version of the Bible, the term appears 13 times in 11 different verses as Valley of Hinnom, Valley of the Son of Hinnom, or Valley of the Children of Hinnom. The Valley of Hinnom is a modern name for the valley surrounding Jerusalem's old city, including Mount Zion, from the west and south, and meets and merges with the Kidron Valley, the other principal valley around the old city near the southeastern corner of the city. This is the place to which some believe Jesus in the King James Bible referred to when he said, "The flame goeth not out, and the worm dieth not." Well, King James, the flame is out, and the worm is dead, because right now it's a park with palm trees and picnic benches, and it looks in pictures like a beautiful place to go. Many people visit there, and it's been that way now for a long, long time. If you consider this the hell to which Jesus was referring when he spoke to his disciples, they would have understood the metaphor of it being the example of the agony of being separated from God. He was not referring to Dante's Inferno from the 12th century. He didn't know Dante. Dante lived in an area of Italy where they believed in various aspects of hell that were frightening, and so he wrote the Divine Comedy with the different stages of hell. The Catholic Church embraced it, and it just spread through the entire Christian religion and reached all the way over here to America, and it became a literal article of faith for fundamentalists and evangelicals. They really believe in a physical hell. There's a certain devotion to it. For some reason, people just seem to need hell. Perhaps they feel no one is capable of doing the right thing without the threat of hell. I don't know how many times I've heard someone say, "There's a special place in hell for somebody like that." Redemption, or paying the ransom for something, in the Bible is translated from the Greek term exagorazo, which means purchased from the marketplace. This is supposed to represent the finished work of the cross. The redemption of humankind had supposedly been accomplished by Jesus' death on the cross. He paid the debt for our sins. Many Christians believe this, but with conditions. Somebody has got to go to hell. This is understandable if you believe that God said, "Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord," or "I repent that I ever made them," when God supposedly destroyed the earth with a flood and said that next time it would be with fire and brimstone. The last book in the New Testament, the book of Revelation, teaches of a fiery hell of torment. For example, if anyone worships the beast and his image, the devil, and receives his mark, 666, he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb meaning the crucified Jesus. And the smoke of their torment ascends forever and ever. This is Revelation 14:10-11. And anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. This is Revelation 20:15. This is what an evangelical is talking about when they ask you if you are saved. Your name is written in the book of life when you accept Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. This is where I began to part ways with the Christian doctrine of hell in my childhood. I was taught that if you didn't believe the way the Baptist teaching, accept Jesus as your Savior and be baptized, full bodily immersion, in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, you were headed straight to hell. It didn't matter if you weren't raised up Baptist, whether you were Catholic, Lutheran, Presbyterian, or even if you were from another country and had never heard of Jesus, you were headed for hell. There were exceptions made for Methodists, Pentecostals, and Holiness since they were similar enough to make it. But those poor, poor Jews, they had the Messiah right in front of them and they rejected him. Boy, were they going to hell. Most fundamentalists, including the Baptist churches I attended, believed that the age of accountability was 12 years old. 1 minute past 12, and you were headed for hell if you didn't get saved. I remember looking around at the children that I went to elementary school with and wondering how many of them would make it into heaven. And I felt so sad and angry at the unfairness of it all. The unfairness of a God we were taught that loves us, but one we felt didn't like us very much. A God that came up with the concept of hell, which is an ideology of hatred, not just of sin, but of billions of people who are considered sinners. A God that conceived of eternal torment of not just a couple of days or a couple of weeks or a couple of years, but eternally forever. Now think about a God who creates that type of torment, who at the same time teaches you to love your enemies and turn the other cheek. But he reserves hell for you. All you atheists and agnostics and Unitarian Universalists and all those backsliding Christians. Fundamentalists believe God's going to make these people's lives miserable. God's not going to bless them, but will make them poor in mind, body, and spirit. He's going to let them get sick and go through hell and then put them in another one for eternity. And they'll say, what about the Bible? The Bible says this, and the Bible says that. Well, most don't even know what the word Bible means. The literal meaning in Greek, Biblia, was paper or scroll, and came to be used as the ordinary word for book. But it's now thought of as a collection of sacred texts or scriptures that Jews and Christians consider to be the product of divine inspiration and a record of the relationship between God and humans. However, most all of the world's religions have their own sacred texts that they also consider to be divinely inspired. I myself view them not so much as the inspired word of God, but as the inspired word of humans about God. The Bible, as we know it today, was not mass-produced with the invention of the Gutenberg Press until about 1,400 years after Christ. At that time, about 80% of the world's population was illiterate, so could not read it and discern it for themselves. Before the Bible was canonized, it took about 300 years of theologians and scholars and historians and archaeologists, 300 years of men, no women, squabbling over what would be included in the Bible and what would not. 300 years of tweaking and changing meanings of words in languages, the reinterpreting and retranslating of these words by human beings fumbling around trying to find a code to appease an angry God or just to please a difficult one. I think all of this has helped create a world of some kind of psychotic people. Voltaire said, "Those who can make you believe absurdities can make you commit atrocities." Those who can make you believe absurdities can make you commit atrocities. When you're brought up in a fundamentalist faith, practice doesn't make perfect. Practice tends to make permanent. So when you think your God doesn't love Catholics because they pray to Mary and use prayer beads, as do some Muslims, Buddhists, Hindus, and New Thought, if you're of the mindset that says, if you don't believe like I believe and God hates you enough to torture you, then why should I have any trouble shooting you or dropping a bomb on you or building walls to keep you out or putting your babies in cages, separating them from their families? Not my idea of family values based on a loving God. I was 29 when my beloved Uncle Joe passed away from lung cancer when he was only 56. I remember my daddy, the preacher, wondering and worrying out loud if he would see his brother in heaven. It broke my heart to hear this. Yes, my uncle could be a rascal. He once grew a pot plant in my granny's backyard and told her to be sure not to cut it down because it was going to have some beautiful buds on it. She didn't have a clue, and luckily someone else cut it down and stole it after it became big enough to stick up over the top of the fence, because a couple of days later the police showed up wanting to they wanted to search the ground, saying someone had reported marijuana being grown on the property, and that was a close one. Despite things like this, he was a loving and caring person with a tremendous heart who would do anything he could for you. Thinking that he wasn't good enough to get to heaven was troubling to me. But I got a little biblical-style reassurance at the gravesite when I looked back and saw a perfect rainbow centered over the top of the church. I felt like this was God's or Uncle Joe's way of letting me know that he was okay. And I believe in my soul that my dad saw him again when it came his time to go. it was kind of strange that no one else said that they saw that rainbow. Another time I worried was when one of my friends committed suicide, and I heard people talking about how those who took their own lives would go to hell. I worried at the time, but I am so glad that I no longer have this fear. As a parent, I would never even think about punishing my child for feeling so troubled that they would injure themselves, much less send them to torture, and neither would the Creator. We cannot separate hell from hatred. Fundamentalists, and we recovering fundamentalists, needed Jesus to protect us from both God and hell. Many of us suffer from church hurt and don't like to hear anything having to do with Christianity or traditional church. However, a spiritual community like this one can feed our need for loving connection with others that we may not get in our regular daily lives. I have that here, and I also remember having some of those moments during my Baptist days as well. I like to think that it's the main reason that keeps most people going to those churches of their choice, that they're not just going out of guilt or fear, even though I know that is the reason for some. I have stopped believing in hell as a physical place that God created to send the damned. Hell is created here on earth in the minds of people who torment themselves and others. Hell is what occurs when people keep telling themselves or others that they are not good enough. Hell is what occurs when a fearful people stop caring about what happens to their neighbors and the environment and focus themselves solely on only their own personal wants and perceived needs at the expense of others. I have found that I no longer consistently, habitually judge others so harshly as I did when I believed that hell was an actual physical place. If there is a God of love, and I believe that there is, whatever you wish to call it, I believe that every one of us is loved equally and that nothing will ever separate us from that love. Amen. Blessed be. And so it is. Amen. Comments? Questions?
AA has a saying that church is a place for those who believe in hell, and that AA is for those who've been there. I believe
yes.
We've all been there.
Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yes.
We are so fortunate to have you.
Thank you.
Recall being in a Unitarian service that even talked much about hell. So I just want to say you make me glad I'm a Unitarian.
Yes. Yes. Well, it kind of helps understand the mindset of all these other people out here that do go to those fundamentalist churches, that most of their decisions in life are based on that fear. And it's a terrible thing. But they need love too. So much.
Yeah, I just want to comment that your talk today fit in nicely with what we heard just a few weeks ago about fear.
Yes.
And that what fear was doing in the minds of people, not only in the political realm today, but other places as well. And, you know, I grew up in that fundamental background too, and it was all about fear, and it took 50 years to get over that, and I'm just glad that I'm in this place now where love trumps any kind of
fear. Absolutely.
I believe everything you say there. It was just wonderful.
Thank you.
Why do these people that are so fearful though, why do they treat people so badly if they feel like this punishing God is going to zap them straight into hell for doing wrong? How is there such a discrepancy between action and what they believe?
You know, I've thought about that for so many years of my life, and I never could understand. I never could understand that.
There's an element of humanization at work there.
Yeah.
They view them as less than human,
yeah.
So it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Well, isn't that nice?
Yes.
Words are sometimes, the meanings of words are sometimes forgotten.
Yes.
And we rattle off Unitarian Universalism without really understanding the words. And Universalism is meaning we're all destined for the same place. You know, and that is significant. And that was significant when it was initially established hundreds of years ago. And the same you alluded to with Unitarianism being there is one divine. You know, there is not a loving Jesus, a Holy Spirit. That Unitarianism is significant.
Yes.
And so to be able to explain to others what Unitarian Universalism really is extremely powerful. And the concepts are extremely powerful.
Yes.
As a Unitarian, because I don't know anything about the religion, but what are your thoughts on heaven? If there's no hell, is there a heaven?
I think that's a personal thing for everybody to decide, but for me, I had doubts for some time, but then there's just something in my gut that tells me for some reason that there is something. Something that comes after. And I've listened to a whole lot of people that have had near-death experiences. And across the board, even from different religions, different areas where they live, there are so many things that are similar to their experiences that I just feel like there is something, but nobody here can tell you what it is.
Right. I followed Sylvia Brown for quite some time. She's dead now. She's a psyche. And she said something interesting in one of her talks, and that is that the spirit world is 2 feet on a plane, 2 feet higher than our plane. And when I was younger, I saw a spirit. An interesting part was the head and the shoulders and everything, but they were about this far above the ground. And it made sense to me when she said that. I understood what she meant. Now maybe I'm wrong or maybe she was wrong, but there, I believe what you're saying, there is a place somewhere that our souls are out there, our spirits are there.
Yeah, and A Course in Miracles, which I've been studying also, mm-hmm. It kind of says that we're still in heaven. We never left, but we've closed it off and we can't see it. We're seeing what we've made. So.
Hi, I just want to say thank you so much. I'm really looking forward to this sermon today. About what it's going to be about. The last several years, I've been looking for a place, and I've been growing spiritually, and hell was one of those things that was just not falling into place. It hasn't since I was a little girl either. No. I just couldn't understand how all these other people have to go to hell, and I'm the lucky one that gets to go to hell.
Yeah, we're special.
Hell, right? So I'm separated from the church.
Yeah.
Years and years ago, and I just,
You are, yes.
Yes,
I'm so glad. Thank you.
It's really been the learning I've been doing with Dr. Michael Newton and Journey of Souls.
Yes.
Of Souls.
Yes, I've read those too.
Studies and things like that. Anyway, it's wonderful. And on a last little note, the last words her father said to her before he passed, you're going to hell.
Oh.
Yes.
Oh, no.
He said that to her over the phone. Is that something? Dragging around with her for several years now, and she also was on this spiritual journey with me, so I think she's kind of starting to move past that.
I'm so glad.
I told her about that But when she brought that up again the last time, I said, you know, just think, the joke's on him.
Yeah.
Because he's up there in the spirit world now, and the joke is on him.
Absolutely.
And he's probably going, oh, I can't believe that's a joke.
Yes.
It doesn't even exist.
Right.
This whole discussion reminds me of, talking about Unitarian Universalist jokes, there's one that Casey reminded us of that we're very poor at singing because we read ahead to see if we agree with the words.
Yes.
And then we, the discussion over here, the Unitarian and Universalism, there's the joke that Unitarians have always felt that they are so blessed and so good that certainly God will not forget them, whereas the Universalists feel that God is so good that certainly God would not forget them. That has always been kind of a joke that's stuck with me, and I just wanted to share it.
One of the things that you made me think about is when people, I talk to people, fundamentalist Christians, if they've got an open mind, which is probably not fundamentalism, I tell them, it's like, when Jesus is teaching in parables, he often ends with, imagine a man who's full of sin, loves his child this much, how much more your father ever will love you.
Absolutely.
But a lot of fundamentalists think, like, imagine a man who can love so much, how much more your God in heaven can hate. And it's like, just totally don't get it.
No.
Just my opinion of things. I'm a believer of something bigger and greater. And I think being here for the while that I've been here, I've learned to look at things differently, and the way I was raised initially, and I think, and I've talked with a lot of people at various times, and even a former pastor, and I think a lot of religion is about control and controlling people to believe in fear, and I've always taken the idea of the something greater, whether it's God or Jesus or whatever kind of name you want to put to this greater, as an all-loving and all-accepting and something or a being or a belief that would never harm you. So therefore, hell is created by man.
Yes. Right up in here.
To,
that's where
to
it
be
came.
In control. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So that's just my.
Yeah, it's definitely, and like I was saying, that it took them all those years to print the Bible, and then people still couldn't even read it. So they were just depending on whoever was reading it to them to tell them what to do, what to think, and. And it just went on from there, and still going today.
I was brought up in a religion that did not teach hell.
Oh, you're lucky.
Religion, so we thought. I came to find out that it was a cult, very constricting Jehovah's Witnesses. And when I finally did leave, and I had to join a support group, help me get out, when I asked the question, well, if this isn't true, what is? I was directed in most cases to mainstream Christianity, and now I had to accept hell. So, what a dilemma.
Yeah.
All the things you talked about, I knew already.
Yeah.
The words, the philosophies, because that's what I was taught my whole life.
Wow.
But now what do I do with it?
Yeah.
Yourself.
Yes.
I'm very confused, to say the least. This was very interesting, but I knew it all.
Did you know it all? Oh.
So
the things that strikes me coming from a Jewish background and seeing that it puzzles me that the Gutenberg Bible, we're talking about the King James Bible,
yes.
Right? That's the almost universally used in America.
Yeah.
It's an English translation of what, from Latin or Greek? Which was
I believe it was Greek, yeah.
It was translated from Hebrew. And if you look any particular, anything in the Bible, of depending upon what language it is, you know, there are so as many interpretations as there are languages that it's been translated into.
Yeah.
Like, one day I came to, and I'm not versed in the Bible in the sense of knowing this proverb, the number, but there's one that's picked up on in Hebrew, it's Tomim Tiyeh Imad Anoy El Hefla, which is really wholehearted with Hashem your God. And in the English writings I've seen, you shall be perfect. And that's a totally opposite.
Yes.
One is saying, and that kind of makes me, instead of being half-hearted about life, to be whatever you get into, be wholehearted. I'm not trying to be perfect.
Right.
So, you know, depending upon the language, that. So how can you call, I don't understand the fundamentals, say, it's the Word of God. Yep. That makes no sense to me.
No.
That's what they call fundamentalists.
Cover the Jewish background. And I have to tell you that I never heard, well, we can go to synagogue very often, I probably wasn't listening, but I never heard mention of hell or heaven in a religious context, a Jewish religious context, or in my home. I learned that from my Catholic friends. and as I thought about it over the years, I agree with Patrick. The concepts are really crowd control.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, behave yourself. And you know, in the next life, you can be great, but you've got to behave yourself while you're here on Earth. It seems a little much for me. And when I read Dante's Inferno, I thought to myself, you know, we were talking about circles and getting worse and worse and worse, and it's scary.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's very scary. Yeah. So I don't think a person should live his or her life in fear. That makes no sense to me. It's not fun either.
No.
No, it's no fun at all.
I think that's your whole point.
Yes.
Yep.
Absolutely.
Very good.
Thank you.
Thank you.